Okay, so ready to dive into a topic that everyone experiences, but we don't always talk about?
We're going there.
Yeah, bowel elimination.
It's a big one.
It might not be the most glamorous subject, but understanding it is like really important for everybody, especially for those of you listening who are in healthcare. You guys sent in a ton of fascinating medical resources about this. We've got nursing notes, we've got patient care instructions, even some like anatomy
A
basics.
little bit of everything.
Yeah, and we are going to break it all down for you.
Yeah. And you know, one of your sources had a really, I don't know if blunt is the right word, but it definitely gets your attention. They start off by saying, everybody poops.
I mean, it definitely grabs your attention, but you're right. Beyond the humor, it highlights something really important about this bodily function that we kind of just like don't really think about.
Right, exactly. We take it for granted until something goes wrong.
Exactly.
So let's rewind to the basics and take a little tour through your GI tract as described in, let's see here, bowel.pdf. And it all starts with the mouth. Chewing starts to break down food. Saliva helps it all slide down.
Right. And then it's down the esophagus, which is like the connector to the stomach, right?
Right.
What happens in the stomach always like kind of blows my mind. It's like a mini volcano in there.
It really is. The stomach churns, mixes the food with digestive juices, and turns it into this liquidy mixture called chyme.
Like a pre-digestion process.
Exactly. Before it gets sent off to the intestines to really do, do the work there.
And speaking of intestines, this always gets me. Bowel.pdf really emphasizes how incredibly long the small intestine is.
And for good reason.
Really?
Yeah, the small intestine is where most of the, I guess you could say where the magic really happens. That's where nutrient absorption takes place. And to maximize that process, you need a lot of surface area.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's why the small intestine is so long.
How long are we talking?
About 20 feet total.
20 feet?
Yeah.
That's wild. It's like stuffing a garden hose into a small backpack or something.
It's incredible. It's all coiled up neatly inside us.
Wow.
So bowel.pdf breaks down the small intestine into three sections: the duodenum, the jejunum, and the ileum.
Okay.
The duodenum is the shortest, only about 2 feet long. That's followed by the jejunum, which is about 9 feet. And then finally, the ileum takes the prize for the longest stretch, coming in at a whopping 12 feet long.
12 feet. That's longer than a car. And to think all that is dedicated to absorbing the nutrients from our food, that's incredible.
It really is.
So then what about the large intestine?
So the large intestine, while it is wider than the small intestine, it's actually much shorter,
Okay.
only about 5 to 6 feet long.
So it's like the express lane of your digestive system.
Exactly. After a long and winding road trip through the small intestine.
So then what happens?
Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
And we'll definitely dive into that. But before I move on, one thing I do want to point out from bowel.pdf is that the connection point between the small and large intestines is called the ileocecal valve.
The ileocecal valve. Okay.
Yeah, and this valve is really essential because it acts like a one-way door,
Oh, interesting.
making sure that the contents of the large intestine don't flow back into the small intestine. Yeah, so we're talking about the final stages of digestion.
Right, where the small intestine hands off to the large intestine
Exactly.
and things start moving towards,
Elimination.
Yeah. And it seems like, according to these sources, a lot of things can influence how smoothly that process actually goes.
You're telling me.
Things like age, diet, even like our psychology comes into play.
It's true. Our sources, especially bowel.pdf, they go into detail about all these factors that can really impact our bowel movements. And understanding these, especially for those of you working with patients, can be, really helpful.
Totally.
So let's start with age. I mean, this is something that affects us, our whole lives, right?
Yeah, it seems obvious, but why is it that babies don't have the same like bowel control as adults?
So it really all comes down to muscle development. Bowel.pdf explains that the muscles that we use to control our bowel movements, they don't actually fully mature until like 2 to 3 years of age.
Wow, okay.
That's why babies need diapers. And it's
Right.
why potty training is, such a big deal.
A milestone.
Yes, exactly.
So then on the other end of the spectrum, as we get older,
Yeah.
things can kind of slow down a little, huh?
Yeah. Our sources talk about how aging can actually lead to an increased chance of constipation or even incontinence in older adults.
And is that just like a muscle thing, or is there more going on?
Well, it's not just the muscles themselves, the nerves that, kind of send those signals to our brain to let us know when it's time to go. They can get a little less sensitive as we age.
Oh, interesting.
So that's how you get those, you know, little oops moments, or even just difficulty completely emptying the bowels.
Right, that makes sense.
Mm.
And, you know, since we're kind of talking about it, constipation. I feel like bowelelimination.pdf makes a really good point that it's not just about how often you're going, it's also about the consistency.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's such an important distinction to make, because even if you're going every day, if you're having hard, dry stools that are difficult to pass, that's still constipation.
Right, right. Okay. And then speaking of things that are difficult to pass.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah. The source also mentions fecal impaction, which sounds
intense.
Intense is a good word for it.
Yeah.
So how serious are we talking?
So fecal impaction is serious.
Okay.
It's essentially like constipation's, you know, much more serious older brother.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It happens when constipation is left untreated and basically the stool becomes so hard and dry that it creates a blockage in the rectum.
Oh, so it's like nothing can get through.
Yeah. It can actually prevent even liquid stool from passing.
Oh, wow.
Which, as you can imagine, is not only uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
But can lead to further complications.
Yeah. Okay, that's definitely going on my list of things to avoid. So, okay, got to keep things moving, clearly.
Absolutely.
That brings us to diet, which I think is something we have, like, a lot of control over.
For sure.
And bowel.pdf spends a decent amount of time talking about fiber.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know is, you know, it's good for us.
Fiber is like the VIP, the superstar of digestive health. It really is. Because what it does is it adds bulk to your stool, which makes it easier to pass. You know, you can almost think of it like it's doing a nice little sweep through your intestines.
Like a little broom.
Exactly, helping things along.
So it's not just me, like, loading up on bran muffins every morning.
Well, you know, while bran muffins can be a good source of fiber,
yeah,
it's more about incorporating a variety of high-fiber foods into your diet.
Yeah.
And bowel.pdf actually calls out grains, fruits, and veggies as, like, the all-star team of fiber.
Right, variety is key. It's not just about, like, one magic food. But I will say, I have noticed that, like, sometimes the healthiest foods, like, I'm thinking beans, onions, those can be a bit, you know.
A little gassy.
Yeah, gassy.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Well, so beans and onions, they have these complex sugars that our bodies, they can't break down easily.
Okay.
And so these sugars get fermented by the bacteria in our gut.
By the bacteria. Got it.
Yeah. And gas is just a byproduct of that fermentation process. It's natural, but it can definitely lead to some bloating and discomfort for some people.
So it's about finding that balance, I guess, between eating healthy and then also managing those
side effects.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of balance, bowel.pdf also talks about the importance of fluid intake.
Oh, hydration is key.
Oh, really?
Big time. Staying adequately hydrated is so important for maintaining, you know, soft stool consistency.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the source actually recommends aiming for 2 to 3 liters of fluid per day.
Wow, 2 to 3 liters. That's more than I thought. I feel like I'm usually just drinking when I'm thirsty. Am I doing it wrong?
Well, listening to your body's thirst cues is definitely important.
Okay, good.
But it's also important to be proactive about hydration, you know, especially when it comes to bowel health.
Okay.
Because when we don't drink enough fluids, our colon can actually start to absorb excess water from our stool.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, and that's what leads to constipation, that uncomfortable feeling we were talking about.
Yeah.
So adequate fluid intake, it can really help prevent that.
Okay. I'm going to work on that, definitely.
Yeah.
So we've got fiber, we've got fluids, anything else we can do to, you know, keep everything moving as it should.
Well, bowel.pdf also mentions physical activity. And this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, hitting the gym every day.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. So those of us with desk jobs, we're not doomed.
Not at all. Even incorporating small amounts of movement into your day can make a huge difference. And think back to peristalsis. Remember that wave-like muscle contraction that helps move food through your digestive tract?
Yeah, it's like an internal massage.
Right. Well, physical activity actually stimulates those muscle contractions.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it really helps things move along more efficiently. Even just taking a short walk during your lunch break, opting for the stairs instead of the elevator, those little things can really add up.
That's really good to know, especially for those of us who aren't, you know, running marathons or anything. Okay, this next point from bowel.pdf really surprised me. They actually suggest that using your own toilet, like in your own environment, can actually help promote regularity.
It sounds strange, but there is actually a psychological component to bowel movements. Our bodies tend to relax and let go more easily when we feel comfortable and safe.
It's like our digestive system is saying, ah, home sweet home.
Exactly. Like when we're stressed or in unfamiliar surroundings, our bodies kind of go into that fight or flight mode,
Right.
and digestion just takes a back seat.
Totally. Oh my gosh. Have you ever experienced traveler's constipation?
Oh, yeah.
It's the worst. It's like my digestive system goes on vacation too.
It's a real thing.
So, are you saying that if I create like a spa-like experience in my bathroom, that all my, problems will be solved?
I mean, I don't know about all of them, but I think creating a relaxing and comfortable bathroom environment definitely can't hurt
Good point. Good
at
point.
all.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about, ways to kind of keep everything regular, keep it moving. But our sources also get into what happens when things go wrong.
Right.
And let's just say it's not always pretty. So we've covered the ideal scenario.
Right.
Things are moving, everything's working great.
Happy gut.
Yes, a happy gut, but your materials also get into, like, those moments when things aren't so ideal.
Of course.
And it's not always, they're
Pretty.
not always pretty, but they say knowledge is power,
Always.
even when it comes to, poop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And understanding those less glamorous moments, that's often the first step towards actually addressing them effectively. So, we already talked about constipation a bit, but bowel.pdf also goes into its kind of more extreme relative fecal impaction.
Yeah, that term always sounds a little scary to me.
Yeah.
Is it like as serious as it sounds?
It can be, yeah. Fecal impaction occurs when constipation just kind of goes unchecked. And the stool gets so like hard and compacted that it actually creates a blockage in the rectum.
So nothing can get through.
Pretty much. It can even prevent like liquid stool from passing,
Oh, wow.
which you can
Yeah,
imagine,
not comfortable.
not comfortable, and can actually lead to even more complications.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely going on my list of things to avoid. So, okay, we got to keep things moving.
Absolutely.
We talked about that. On the other end of the spectrum, there's diarrhea. Bowel.pdf describes it as having, frequent loose stools, but what's actually happening in our bodies to cause that?
Right. So think back to peristalsis,
Okay.
those wave-like muscle contractions that move food
It's
through.
like a little massage for our intestines.
Exactly. Well, with diarrhea, those contractions, they kind of go into overdrive.
Oh, so it's like instead of a leisurely stroll through the digestive system, food is taking a bullet train.
That's a great way to put it. And because of that really rapid transit, there's way less time for the large intestine to do its job and absorb water.
Which is why, okay.
Exactly, which is what leads to that, loose stool consistency that's characteristic of diarrhea.
Okay, that makes sense. And the source lists like a bunch of things that can cause diarrhea.
Yeah.
Antibiotics, tube feeds, even food poisoning. It's like our gut is really reactive.
Oh, it's incredibly reactive. I mean, you have to think about it. Your gut has trillions of bacteria that all play a role in digestion.
Wow, trillions.
Trillions. And those bacteria, they can be thrown off balance by a whole bunch of things, including everything you just mentioned.
Okay, so it's a delicate balance.
Very delicate.
Okay, shifting gears a little bit. The source also mentions hemorrhoids. I'll be honest, I don't really know what those are, other than something that causes discomfort.
Right. So hemorrhoids, they're basically just swollen veins
Okay.
in the rectum and anus.
Okay.
And yeah, they can be super painful. Bowel.pdf points out that straining, especially due to constipation, that's a really common culprit.
So it's like this vicious cycle. Like you're constipated, so you're straining, which can cause hemorrhoids, which then makes going to the bathroom even harder.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah.
So we're gonna move on from that.
Okay.
Because we have to talk about one more thing that's in this bowel.pdf. And this is something that might seem kind of intense, but we really want to make sure we're covering, the full spectrum of bowel health here.
Absolutely.
So they talk about surgical interventions like ostomies.
Right, ostomies.
Ostomies, yeah. So that sounds serious.
It is a very serious procedure, but for some people, it can be completely life-changing.
Really? Okay, well, let's back up. What is an ostomy?
So, an ostomy involves creating something called a stoma,
Great.
which is basically a surgically created opening in the abdomen.
So it's like a new opening.
A new opening, exactly, to allow for waste elimination.
So instead of, exiting through the rectum and anus, it would exit through this opening.
That's exactly it.
Wow. So what would lead someone to need an ostomy?
So typically, ostomies are performed when a portion of the bowel needs to be removed
Okay.
or bypassed, often because of things like, you know, cancer, Crohn's disease, or, you know, even severe injuries.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
And bowel.pdf mentions that these ostomies, they can be temporary or permanent.
Right.
So how do they determine that?
So it really just depends on the underlying condition and, you know, how extensive the surgery was.
Right.
In some cases, you know, an ostomy might be temporary to give the bowel a chance to heal, and then they would reconnect it. But in other cases, it's a permanent solution.
Wow, the human body is amazing. It's incredible.
It really is.
The source also mentions different types of ostomies, which I imagine has something to do with where the stoma is placed.
Exactly. The placement really dictates the consistency of the output.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, an ileostomy, where the stoma is created from the ileum, that's the last part of the small intestine, will result in more liquid stool
Oh, got it.
because it bypasses the large intestine where most of that water absorption
That
happens.
makes sense. One detail that really stuck out to me in the source was this practice question. It was geared towards aspiring nurses.
Okay.
And it described a patient with a stoma that was dark and dry. And the correct answer was to, like, call the doctor immediately.
Right.
So what's the significance of that? Like, why is that such a red flag?
Well, it really highlights just how crucial careful observation is, especially in patient care. Because healthy stoma, that should be moist, and it should be pink or red, you know, indicating good blood flow. A dark, dry stoma, that could mean that there's a serious complication.
Okay, so it's like a circulation issue.
It could be, yeah, like compromised circulation, which would require, like you said, immediate medical attention.
It's amazing how, like, those seemingly small observations can actually, you know,
Make a world of difference. A world of difference,
it's
exactly.
all connected.
It really is. Well, it seems like we've covered a lot today. We talked about everything from the basic anatomy of the digestive system to, you know, the intricacies of surgical interventions. We talked about how to keep things running smoothly and what to do when things go wrong. I feel like I learned so much.
Me too. It's really fascinating
It
stuff.
is. And I hope that everyone listening, you know, feels empowered to really take control of their digestive health.
I hope so too.
Because it really is about, you know, making those small daily choices that can make a huge difference in our overall well-being.
Absolutely.
So, listeners, remember to stay hydrated, nourish your body with fiber-rich foods, and maybe incorporate a little movement into your routine.
Your gut will definitely thank you.
Yes, your gut will thank you. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.